going? Where are we going?
Whitehall.
We're going Whitehall. So we are going to Whitehall. Hold this camera. So Simon is holding the camera. We are going to Whitehall because that's where everybody is apparently. And whilst we're going to Whitehall, we're riding in this pink taxi, which is beautiful.
It is. Yeah. And we haven't just got married.
We haven't. No, despite all the flowers and everything. But that's, look at this. Check this out. This is absolutely stunning, isn't it? This is fantastic. But the taxi is available for hire, and that's what they do. They do weddings and events like that. But now that we're in this car and we're going up to Whitehall, it's a good opportunity to have a conversation about what's been going on. And where we are now, obviously ULEZ expansion has happened. We're still having these protests. Where do you think we stand?
Well, to a certain extent, I think we are in a sort of Mexican standoff at the moment. Khan is ploughing ahead with it, but we know that if Susan Hall gets elected come May next year, the whole thing will be scrapped. And so you've got this standoff. But what's important is that people are still protesting, you know, work is going on, and actually it is playing really, really heavily out in the suburbs. It really is. It's really important. So I think, actually, there's a very good chance that this will be overturned come May next year.
So what is the situation at the moment with the polls? Where is Susan standing in them? How is it looking?
Yeah, Susan's not far behind Sadiq Khan in the polls, and actually there have been one poll which put her 1 point behind Sadiq Khan, and that was without Jeremy Corbyn standing. So actually, you know, I'm quite hopeful.
Do we know if he's standing?
Nobody knows. Maybe you can ask his brother if
he's here later.
But yeah. Again, his brother's been very non-committal on it as well. So the key thing is that, you know, she is in with a real shout and making a real difference, because it will be scrapped on day one. I have no bones about that. Just as, I'll give an example, when Boris was elected, he said he was going to roll back the congestion zone out of Kensington, which he did, and he also said that he'd scrap the bendy buses, which he did. So both of those things he did and rolled back. So it shows that things can be done to roll it back. It's really, really important.
And do you think that Sadiq Khan is going to be standing? Because my understanding a few months ago was that he might be asked to step down.
Well, you can, at the moment it looks like he is, although the way he's gallivanting off to New York and all the other things, you might think he's got something else lined up. But then that just shows that really he's not interested in the residents of Greater London. He's more interested in himself and his future, if it is that's the case.
Yeah.
And actually, he's, the fact that, you know, he cancelled his mayor's question time because ULEZ protesters might turn up and give him a hard time.
Yeah, but to be honest, like, I think he did go off to New York to be patted on the back and congratulated for the ULEZ expansion, which of course apparently we all agreed to.
If you believe that, you know, I mean, the thing is, what comes out of his mouth is totally unbelievable, time after time after time. You know, he said he wasn't going to expand the ULEZ to outer London, but he did. You know, every time he says something, you just say, hang on a tick, can I have a lie detector test with that, please? You know, because it's just unbelievable, literally.
So let's go broader. I mean, obviously ULEZ is a big issue for us. We're Londoners, and here this is a major concern. But here in London, we also have 20 miles per hour limits that have also now been expanded or are being expanded to cover even more roads. Wales has just seen the blanket introduction of the 20 miles per hour limit. Do you think that these sort of things, 20 miles per hour, the ULEZ, the LTNs, which of course are being contested all over the country, do you think these are going to have a real impact at the next general election, which could even be next year?
I think they will. Take the Wales example. Over 300,000 people have signed a petition saying get rid of it now. And these are people, ordinary people. These are not your radicals. These are not people that, you know, go on protests and things. These are people affected by their ordinary everyday lives. So let me give an example. In the last elections for the Wales local government, 1.1 million people voted. 300,000, okay? 300,000 have already signed a petition saying get rid of it.
There's 2 million people in Wales, isn't there? So
yeah.
2,300,000 have signed a petition. That's extraordinary.
Yeah, over 10% of the population. And, as I said, it's growing every day. Every time I look at that petition, it's getting bigger and bigger. And again, I think that's one of the reasons why Mr. Sunak has rolled back the petrol engine.
The 2030 deadline.
Yeah, the 2030. And all that sort of stuff. Because actually, if they're not achievable, then actually you've got to be realistic and pragmatic about it.
So I'm going to ask you, this might be difficult for you, but I'm going to ask you this, because a lot of people, obviously, when he did the 2030 to 2035, I was quite happy because actually it proved my prediction, because I always said that 2030 would never be met anyway. Yeah. Of course, we're in a scenario where Keir Starmer has already said that he would roll it back. But a lot of people that were being quite cynical about it said that, well, the only reason he's done this is because he thinks that it's a vote winner.
Well, if it's a vote winner, that's a good reason to do it, isn't it? Let's do it because it's a vote loser.
Well, it's kind of the definition of politics, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have to do what people want you to do, right?
So, well, in that case, why is Mr. Starmer running it back? Yeah. It's a vote loser. Yeah. There you go. Says it all, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I shouldn't take the mic too much, but in reality, I think it was just pragmatic. If I went back to what I've said previously in the past, there isn't the electricity infrastructure, if I can put it that way, to support electric cars. We don't make enough electric cars. Even if we were making 1 million cars a year, it would take 40 years or thereabouts to change all the cars that are out there. Maybe a bit less. I think there's about 2 million electric cars out there, so it's probably only take 38 years.
Well, we have 1 million electrified at the moment.
Okay.
It's just under 1 million.
Yeah.
We have a total vehicle car park in the UK of about 38, 39 million vehicles.
Yeah.
On a good year, sales in the UK are about 1 million.
Yeah.
So we're looking at another 38, 37, 38 years to actually replace all the vehicles.
Absolutely. and also, it's, and most people just see the logic of it. They say, hang on a tick, I've got an asset, it's really good, it works well, I use it from time to time, why wouldn't I want to keep that asset and sweat it to the very end? And then, as happens every year, come to the end of their natural life and people get new ones.
I just put up a podcast yesterday with a guy called Duncan Buchanan, who has been involved in road policy, traffic policy, transportation policy. And he's done his own impact assessment on the scrappage scheme. And he worked out that that was a negative impact on the environment to the tune of about 35,000 tons, the scrappage scheme alone.
Wow. I mean, that doesn't surprise me, because actually, it's like everything. If you do things sensibly and you bring people with you, you're going to end up with a much better situation.
And bringing people with you is what Rishi has said, isn't he?
Yeah, and also, if you bear in mind that people don't get up in the morning and say, today I'm going to go out and pollute London, I'm going to do my worst, I'm going to drive for 24 hours just to pollute London. Nobody does that. They have real aims that they've got to do. They've got to get to work. They've got to get their kids to school. They've got to do all of those things and jumble it all together and try and make it work. And it's hard these days trying to, pay the mortgage, do all of those things, get to work, get your kids to school at the same time. And so that's why people are saying, hang on a sec, you're hitting ordinary people.
And this is the thing, isn't it? Because, for me, a lot of my approach has been the motorist approach or the petrol head, because I'm a petrol head, right?
Yeah.
And last time we had one of these, we had a whole bunch of guys from petrol hedonism that come down.
Yeah, I saw that.
And they wanted to lend their support because ultimately they know it's going to affect them as well.
Yeah.
But what people are starting to realize, or certainly what in political circles people are starting to realize, is that it's not just petrol heads. It's actually everybody, because everybody uses vehicles.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people do. And you've got to make sure that those people can continue having their freedoms as much as they want. And that's one of the great things about these 20 mile an hour restrictions. Absolutely restricts people's freedoms. It means that journeys that might have taken 15 minutes will now take the best part of 20, 30, 35 minutes, something like that. It just doesn't work out. And people will break the rules. And as you see, in Wales, 300,000 people are voting against it. They tell you that in Wales, 300,000 people have signed a petition against it.
You did that, but the other thing that is very interesting from what you've just said is that people will break rules. And one of the things I've always said about the 20 miles per hour limit is that you're suddenly criminalizing a whole bunch of people that are not doing anything that's substantially wrong. I mean, to hit people with a fine at 24 miles per hour, it just sounds absurd to me.
I must confess, I'm not a great fan of it. Obviously, if someone was before me in the court having done it, I would have to apply the law as it stands, and that's why it's very, very hard. And I think it is harsh, and that's what gets people.
Is it going to lead to more of this stuff? Because with a lot of this stuff, with the ULA stuff, when I talk to people at events, and I'm not going to name any names and names, but a lot of people will say to me, oh, I'm just going to take the number plates off, or I'm just going to do this, or I'm just going to do that.
Well,
and you just think you're just taking ordinary people
and making them criminals
and turning them into criminals.
Yeah, I mean, people wouldn't do that. And bear in mind, our prisons are full as it is, you know, what are you going to do with these people if they don't pay their fines? If you are you going to put someone into prison for not paying a fine? You know, it's you know, because ultimately that's what you do if someone's willful about it. And you know, I just think there's far worse people should be in prison than one or two people protesting.
Is it fair for motorists and people that use vehicles to start to feel really? They feel like they've been turned into piggy banks, somebody said.
They do. They feel they are the oppressed now in this country. They are the oppressed minority almost. But actually they're probably a majority, because whilst not everybody has a motor vehicle, everybody knows someone that has one. You know,
and at some point you're going to use one. Yeah. You know, whether it's a bus or whether it's a taxi or an Uber or your or a friend's car. You know, you're going to use one.
The thing is, but not only that, Uber, but it's also you might use a vehicle without realising. For example, you might get, you know, a Deliveroo, and actually indirectly you're using a vehicle because those people have to travel. Yeah. And of course, the big worry for a lot of people is the pay per mile elements of it. I can't remember how much Khan has spent on it already, but something like £8 million, I believe.
This has already been spent on researching this, preparing for it.
And that's a heck of a lot of money, you know. And
this is not a conspiracy theory.
No, it's not.
Because every time, sometimes when you mention, I've seen it on the channel. You mention paper mile, and people are like, oh, conspiracy. This conspiracy. This is not. This is because there was a job actually advertised for this recently, wasn't there?
Let's put it this way. As I understand it, they're already recruiting and have recruited people to roll out paper mile in TfL.
Yeah.
And actually, that is the questions under FOI someone should ask. How many people has been recruited to work on paper mile, or it won't call it that, you call it road user charging, or some other fancy words. Road users, that's what it is, or paper mile.
Road user charging is what it's called, exactly.
And so they will give it some fancy words because they don't want people to paper mile. They understand what that is, you know.
So what can we do now? I mean, we're in this situation where we're facing actually a mayoral election next year, possibly a general election. I mean, is this an opportunity to finally get our voices heard? Or, because some of the cynics are like, well, it's all been decided and there's nothing we do is going to make any difference.
Well, if you take that view, you would never ever do anything. You know, you wouldn't step out of the door because fate has decided what you're going to do. But actually, I think we make our own fate, and I think we also make our own history, and we can do that by actually, you know, getting out and voting, getting rid of it. And I think people are determined because it is so, so unpopular these days.
Well, tell me about, it's not because, I mean, I'm just moving away from the motorists and moving away from ULEZ, because it's not just about this stuff. I mean, earlier you were doing a little speech that you were giving there, and tell everybody which ward you're from and what you were talking about, the recent tragic incidents that happened.
Yeah, well, the point is that, you know, Khan goes on about this being about saving lives and young lives. More young people die every year from knife crime and stabbing than from asthma, okay? So where's your priorities, Mr. Khan? It does annoy me. And because last week, tragically, very tragically, I really feel my heart goes out to the families, a young lad was stabbed in my ward, and that's never happened before.
And this is where?
It's fatal. Petswood and Knoll. He was stabbed in a place called Jubilee Park, and as was actually found in a place called Tent Peg Lane, which is in my ward. And you know, it's never happened in my ward before. The fact that this knife crime epidemic has got that far shows that actually, you know, he's got his priorities completely wrong. But it's because and I keep saying this, he's morally, politically and financially bankrupt, which is why he's bringing in his expanded ULEZ, because he's got no other way of thinking of raising money. He could actually cut some of the rubbish that he's got in TfL. He could roll back all the money he's spending on, you know, paper mile and ULEZ and all the rest of it. I'm told that over 1,000 cameras have had to be replaced on ULEZ so far.
Well, it's 90% of them are not working in Southeast London, apparently.
Well, I won't laugh about it because it's you know, I don't condone that sort of thing. But you have to say,
I'll have a little chuckle.
Yeah, you can have a chuckle. But the thing is, people are taking, if you like, things into their own hands because they really, really don't like what's
going on. And this goes back to what we were talking earlier about, criminalizing people that are actually just trying to go about their business.
Yeah, and these are these people who feel that they're being oppressed, you know. So they are now feel as though they're the oppressed minority, and that, that, you know, all these sort of big government people are coming for them.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, I understand why the Conservative Party gets a bit tired with that brush. But hopefully the Conservative Party is, you know, if seeing the lights on the road to Damascus or whatever it is.
The road to Damascus, but is the road to Damascus open for us? You know, because this is the other thing. Again, going back to what you're saying, and you do get a lot of people in the comments and stuff saying, you know, this is all, it's all been decided, and there's all these bigger forces at work here. Yeah. You know, but even if there are, ultimately, democracy is still democracy, right?
You know, they said that about, you know, the EU and all the rest of it, and people said, no, we're taking matters into our own hands. That whether the government's managed to do anything properly with that or not is another matter, but at least we took that opportunity in our own hands, and we can do so again with this. And actually, what is wrong with having a candidate that stands up to government and says, do you know what, you're being stupid, government, we don't need these 20 mile an hour zones, we don't need all these ULEZ schemes, actually we can save money in our TfL budget. I mean, every single year, this is the thing, every single year TfL at the end of the financial year when the books have closed, they're, oh look, we found £200 million, you know, every single year. So you think, well, hang on a tick, what are they hiding from us this year, you know?
And
that's why I say, you know, Susan Hall will be very wise to say, do you know what?
Yeah.
We should pay back those penalties that people get for ULEZ. If you vote for me, you'll get a refund.
Because this is actually one of the things that you said, right? Yeah, back when I first spoke to you.
I keep going on about it because I think it's really important. And what I did very cheekily is I wrote to Khan, I wrote to the head of TfL and said, oh, by the way, I'm promoting this. Yeah. What I suggest you do is you put some money aside in your risk register to cover it.
Yeah.
So if they haven't done it, then they're basically being ignorant and refusing to actually do what they should do and set aside money for a risk.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, I want to close on something else that's related, but something slightly different. And that is the reality of personality politics. You know, because a lot of what we're doing here with these protests, you know, what I always say is attack the policy, not the person.
Indeed.
Right? Because ultimately, you know, we're all individuals, we're all people, some of us are right, some of us are wrong, whatever, we all make mistakes. But ultimately, it's called democracy. It's called politics, right? And this is how you change things.
Yeah.
But by attacking individuals, it's not necessarily the right way to go about this.
I don't disagree with that. And I think you'll find that I have, every single time, I concentrate on the policies because for all his failings, which are all political and all to do with his policies, you know, I have nothing personally against Mr. Khan or anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really, really important. And I think people should do that. And I don't, you know, some of the slogans are a bit too...
They're too direct.
Yeah, too direct. Too personal. Yeah.
Because ultimately, if it wasn't him doing it, it would be somebody else doing
it. Yeah. And you've got ultimately, you know, you've got to respect that people are individuals.
Yeah.
So again, I wouldn't respect, you know, doing protests at people's houses and things like that.
Exactly.
Because I think all of those cross a line where actually people, no matter how much you like or dislike their policies, are entitled to their private life and entitled to their home life.
Yeah.
And bear in mind there may be people in
and
that
to
home.
Be safe.
Yeah, and to be safe. Yeah. And bear in mind there are people in those homes that are related to him, and it's not their fault.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah,
so you know, that's really, really important. Can I just say one final thing?
Yeah,
I think
let's
we haven't had that, because one of the things I wanted to talk about is Susan Hall is keeping those cameras.
Yeah.
Okay. And she said that, and people say, oh well, you know, she should take down all the cameras and all that. Yeah. Well, you can go around hoping for an ideal world, okay, but you're not going to get that. And the only person that can actually win and beat Sadiq Khan is Susan Hall. But, and this is the crucial, those cameras can be used to help fight crime.
Yes.
So they can be used to help catch the people, the perpetrators that did those stabbings in Petswood. Mm. They can catch the drug barons and all the sort of, you know, county line stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
And this is really, really important. And I think people would approve of that.
Yeah,
I mean, most people.
The cameras are there. I mean, at the end of the day, the cameras are already there. They're already up. They work. The fact is that in London, we have more cameras than any other city in the world anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, a few more ain't going to make any difference if they're being used for the right reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Providing they're used on that basis. And one final thing I heard today is that TfL are using the data and sending it abroad, sending our data abroad. So that's hot off the press. I've got to find out more about it because I only saw something on it today. But that just shows you that actually that they can't even use suppliers in this country to handle the data.
Wow.
So that is appalling, and it's an appalling behaviour by TfL and Mr. Khan allowing them to do it. They should be keeping all of our data on UK soil. Simple as that.
No, I absolutely agree with you. Thank you so much.
Bombshell?
Yeah, on that bombshell. But thank you so much, Simon. Thanks a lot. And
I hope you've
enjoyed the ride in this incredible taxi with all the flowers and everything.
And I
forgot to bring a bouquet for you. Maybe next time.
I don't think you want any rumours getting out about that. But I have to say that is a superb decoration. The taxi's been done fantastically.
There you go.
And
thumbs up, Joe.
And it's great.
The meter's running.
Yeah, turn the clock off now, please.
Awesome. Wallahi, Annie, no problem. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, top man. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're good. Hope you enjoyed that video. If you did, please hit the like button and share this video as well if you can. And while you're at it, check out these guys who also sponsor my content. I am deeply grateful to them because it helps me to buy new equipment, put fuel in the cars, and yes, buy a cup of coffee. You can do the same. Just go here or right here on YouTube. Just hit these three little dots down here and click on thanks. Make sure you're signed in first. My content is free. But this is how you can help me keep it that way. I may even send you a gift. Oh, by the way, watch this next.